I crashed tonight, Brother Rodney, I'm going to blame you for it because you should have went on. Appreciate the Lord tonight. Glad for all the testimonies. Glad for the Spirit of the Lord that's here. And I appreciate what Brother Kenny said. He said he couldn't wait to get to church. Just wanted to come to church. I think that's the way he said it. Just hardly couldn't wait to come. Amen. Excited about being able to come to the Lord's house. I tell you, if you're a Christian, that's the way you feel. If church is a burden to you, then you may need to check your experience. Because when you get saved, you want to be around people that's just like you are. Amen. That's right. When I was in the world, when I was in sin, I wanted to be around people that was like me. I felt comfortable around the people that acted like I did and talked like I did and went to the same places that I went. Since I got saved, I want to be around God's people. Amen. I want to be around the Lord's people, and I appreciate the church. Appreciate the Lord and His mercy. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll read in the book of Mark, chapter 2. And just this past week, Brother Gentry preached revival for us, and he actually read this text. And I felt like the Lord had dealt with my heart concerning these scriptures, and it's, as far as I know, it'd be nothing along the lines that he preached. But I felt like he dealt with my heart about some things even before he come and just confirmed maybe what the Lord had dealt with me about. And I hope the Lord will help me challenge your hearts tonight. Hope the Lord will help me deliver the message that we need to hear tonight. Mark chapter 2, we'll just read from 1 to verse 1, from verse 1 to verse 5. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Yes. Amen. I want you to go back to... I'm preaching out of a new Bible, and it's different, so just bear with me here. I want you to go back to verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. The Lord will help me. I'd like to preach for a thought. Bringing men to Jesus. Yes. Bringing men to Jesus. I ask you to pray with me and for me tonight that God would help me. Father, we thank you for the great opportunity that you've given us to be able to come to the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, that person that told us about your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for that person. Lord, that led us to a salvation experience. Lord God, we pray that you would help us as church members and as Christians, Lord, to tell the world about a Savior that can deliver and set free. Challenge our hearts. Tonight we pray. We'll give you the praise with the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Bringing men to Jesus. We live in a country that has many different institutions. These institutions have been established for different purposes. There's some that are good institutions, and there's some that are bad institutions. There's some that Their purpose is good, it's noble, it's right, and it's a blessing. Schools at one time used to be a great institution. The public school system, rather. Especially when God was allowed in the classroom. And God was allowed in the teaching, and they would even teach the Bible in school, in public school. And at one time, it was a worthy institution. But anymore, it's not that. It's quite the opposite. Hospitals are institutions that have been established for our benefit, for our help. And they're good hospitals. And, of course, there's some bad ones. There's some down south. We lived there long enough. We figured if you get in trouble, don't go to that hospital because you won't get the care you need. They'll let you bleed out in the emergency room. You know, there's good hospitals, there's bad hospitals. The word institution, I looked it up, and the dictionary said that an institution is an organization, an establishment, a foundation, or a society that is devoted to the promotion of a particular cause or program. And as I've already said, we live in a country where there's many, many, many institutions that have been established for a certain purpose. But I believe that the greatest institution that ever has been and that will ever be is the church. Brother Monty, I'm not down on the church. There's a lot of folks that are down on the church. I tell you, there's a lot of people that's supposed to be a part of the church that are down on the church. Nobody's living right. Everybody's hypocrites. Nobody's serving God. Everybody is wrong and this, that. You ever met anybody like that? I sure hope ain't nobody like that in here. Amen. But... you know, there's people that's in this church that is down on this church. But I'm not down on the church. I am for the church. And I appreciate the church. I appreciate the people of God. I appreciate every one of you that are here this tonight in the house of God. You are a blessing and you are a part of the greatest institution that the world has ever known. And I know that the Bible said in the last days there would be a great falling away. And we're living in that time of the great falling away. We're living in that time of apostasy. When men and women are abandoning the truths and the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the foundational truths that the church has been built upon. But I'm glad tonight there's still a church. I'm glad tonight that not everybody has compromised. Not everybody has backslid. Not everybody is preaching a watered-down gospel. There's still some God-called men that still preach biblical holiness under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's still some God-called teachers that spend time in the Word of God. Amen. Spend time digging into the depths of what God says, that they might have something, amen, to give the church, that we could stand in this hour of great apostasy. There's still some old time, amen, Holy Ghost singers that know how to sing the power of God down. There's still some people in the church, and there is still a church. Jesus said, upon this rock I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall never, there will never be a moment in time and eternity that the devil will defeat this church. It's a grand church. It's a glorious church. It's a holy church. There is still a church, and I'm glad for that great institution. You know, some people are against organization. I'm not talking about, you may have your opinions on that. And I'm not preaching for or against, all right? But we are organized. We may not, We may not be like some groups that have, you know, many churches under their organization, but we are an organization. But it goes beyond just being an organization. We are an organism. You know what an organism is? It's a living thing. So what I'm trying to say is that this church, as Sister Wanda testifies about being a part of the former church, God called her out of the former church and put her in this glorious church. Amen. We're not a formal church. We're not a group of people that live a certain way just to be doing it. But we are a church. And there was a time in our lives that we were dead in trespasses and in sin. And God raised us up. Amen. God raised us. He quickened us together with Christ. He brought us out of that spiritual grave. And He raised us up. And this church, it's a living church. It's a church that lives. You know why the church lives? Because the great head of the church lives. And He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And because He lives, He's got a church that lives. Oh, God, help me preach. Our purpose, the reason, the primary reason why God saved us and put us in this church, Brother Jonathan, is that we might bring men to Christ. Thank God the church has many functions. It's a place where we come and we can worship. And it's not the building, it's the people that consist of the church. It's the people that are, you remember a little saying we used to do? This is the church, this is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. Y'all remember that? You know, the church isn't the building, it's the people that's in the building. And it's the people that has God living in them. We are the temple of God. Ain't that what the Bible said? Ye are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God, He dwells in you. And the reason why God saved us primarily, yes, He saved us to keep us out of hell. Yes, He saved us to give us a better life. But the primary reason why God saved us out of a dark world of sin is that we might bring others, that we might save others, that we might rescue others. Our primary purpose, our primary concern is to bring men to Jesus. I want to ask you something. How many have you brought to Jesus? How many have you took Jesus to? Amen. We may not be able to bring them here to church. I'm going to tell you something. If I could, I'd tie them up and I'd get anybody I had to get to help me to carry them, and I'd drag them down to this altar and I'd hold them down there till they got saved. That's right. That's what I do, Sister Valerie. But that ain't the way it works. I may not be always, amen, get them to come to church and to get them to come to our service. But you know what I can do? I can take Jesus to them. Hey, I said I can take Jesus to them. And by me taking Jesus to them, you know what I'm doing? I'm bringing them to Jesus. That's right. I said I'm bringing them to Jesus. That's our primary purpose. That's our primary concern. That's our primary goal. And when we let any little thing hinder us from fulfilling that great purpose and that great cause, amen, we are missing the mark. Listen, we have a good number here. I don't know how many here tonight. Probably around 75. Biggest church I ever pastored. I'm used to pastoring. I pastored churches that had 10. And 6 of them were mine. Can you imagine that? Preached there a whole year and would have stayed, but they voted me out. Glory to God. Man, if you can't keep the majority the 4 people, something wrong around one way or the other. I pastored churches with a little more. And man, I'm going to tell you, this is wonderful. to be able to come to church. And if there's 10 out, there's still 70 there. I'm not glad 10's out. And you are missed if you're not here, even though everybody else is here. Amen. And you ought to be here. Amen. Even though we already have a big crowd, you still ought to come to church. But you know what? Amen. Listen, there's a world out there. I said there's a world out there that does not have peace, that does not have joy. They're searching and they're looking and they're trying to find something to satisfy. I tell you what I want to do, brother. I want to be somebody that'll bring them to Jesus. I want to be somebody that'll see their need and say, hey, I know where you can get what you're looking for. You're searching. I know where the answer is. I know what you're looking for. It's in Jesus. I want to preach to you the things that we must have if we're going to be able to bring men to Jesus. The first thing that we must have, we must, and Brother Rodney talked about it, we must have faith. The Bible said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Ain't that what it said? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It took faith. That was the first condition to the salvation of our soul. We had to believe. We had to believe. When the Spirit of God dealt with our hearts and convicted us of our sin, when the Holy Ghost shone that light from heaven and revealed to us our true nature and who we really were, it revealed to us we were sinners by birth. We were sinners because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the very beginning of God's creation. Amen. Because of their failure and their sin, we were born with a nature to rebel against God. But you know what? Amen. That same light that showed us our true condition, that same light that shined unto us and revealed the darkness and the filthiness of my heart. Amen. It shined bright enough to show me a Savior that was able to reach down into my black heart and pull out every sin and everything that grieved him and everything that was a violation of his word. And he pulled it out of my heart and it took faith. I had to believe he died for my sin. I had to believe what he did at Calvary. He did it for me. And if I'll go to an altar and I'll confess my sin and I'll forsake my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It took faith for us to get saved.
And
it's going to take no less than that same faith for us to be able to bring men to Jesus. Now, if them men would not have had faith, Brother Jonathan, when they seen that man that was sick of the palsy, they looked at him and said, oh, that poor, pitiful man. But there's no hope for him. We can't do nothing about it. But something rose up in their heart, Brother Tim, when they seen that man that was sick of the palsy, paralyzed. He was bound to the bed. He couldn't move. That was his place. He would forever be bound to that bed. Amen. Until something took place. And those men looked at him in his condition. And I'm sure they were probably men that knew him. They were familiar with him. They knew things about him. He was their neighbor. He was their friend. Might have been their brother or their cousin or somebody kin to them. And they looked at him in his condition. And they had heard and they had seen what the Lord had already done. And something rose up in their heart. And they says, hey, you've been a lot of places and you tried a lot of things. And you're not any better than what you are. But we met somebody that's got power over paralysis. We met somebody that's got power over blinded eyes. He's got power over lame people. He's got power over demons and devils and wrong spirits. He's even got power over death. Amen. And if we could just get you to where he is. You know what they were saying? They were saying we believe that God can. can make a difference. We believe that God can heal. We believe, I tell you, when we fail to witness because we somehow believe they've gone too far, we have lost our faith in God. You've got to have faith if you're going to be able to bring men to Jesus. They had faith. Matthew 18 and 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus told one man, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh church, if we're going to bring them to Jesus, mamas, daddies, you got lost children, and the devil says they've gone too far. They've done too much. You know what my prayer is? That faith will rise in your heart. I said faith will rise in you. Listen, I know the devil talks to you like he does me. I pray for my lost loved ones. I mentioned their name. I've invited them to church. I've tried my best to get them to realize that they're lost and they need a Savior. And there's times the enemy says they're gone too far. They're never going to get saved. And I'll feel that I don't know how to even say it, that darkness of doubt as it begins to hover over me. And he says, no way, they've gone too far. Look at that, when they died lost and their mama prayed for them, amen, from the time they were born, and they still died lost. Amen. Look at that one, they died lost and their daddy mentioned them and called their name out every time prayer request was given in. Amen. It doesn't matter how many has died lost. It doesn't matter how many has not given their heart to God. It don't change the fact he's still a Savior of souls. I said he's still a Savior of the souls of every man that will come to him and surrender and submit to him. We must have faith. We must believe. We can afford to lose our confidence that God can still save. Amen. If church people, if saints of God lose that faith, then they will begin to sit idle and say, what's the use anyhow? You got to have faith. Not only what must we have faith if we're going to bring them to Jesus, but we must have compassion. Let me read to you what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, concerning our Savior. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now notice what it says here. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Just as Jesus was motivated by, you know what compassion is? It's love. It's a concern that is born out of a heart full of the love of God. You can feel sorry for somebody and not have compassion. Y'all believe that's possible? I mean, you can see somebody in dire need and you'll think, man, that's just awful, but it just don't really, it don't sink in, it don't hit you. It's not like a tidal wave that hits you and says, that person needs help. Jesus was moved with compassion. That word moved means he was motivated. And if I could say it like this, that compassion moved his hands. You understand me? That compassion moved his feet. Amen. That compassion compelled him not just to look at somebody and say, oh, that's just terrible that they're in the shape that they're in, but that compassion said, I'm going to do something about it.
I'm going to do something about it. He was moved. Amen. What was his motivation? It was love. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If the love of God lives in your heart, it'll move you too. Do you hear me? You won't be able to work beside that co-worker that curses every other word. Amen. Without at some point or another saying, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. He wants to save you. I tell you, they had compassion.
They were moved with it. Bible says, if you see your brother have need, I done lost it. Y'all help me out with that screen. And you shut up your bowels of compassion. There it is. How dwelleth? In other words, it ain't there. It's not possible for the love of God to dwell in our hearts when we see men and women, boys and girls, going to hell every day, and it doesn't affect our prayer life. It doesn't affect our witness to them on the job or in the grocery store or wherever it may be. I'm preaching tonight on bringing men to Jesus. When's the last time you were moved with compassion? When's the last time you got to thinking about somebody that was outside of the ark of safety? And it'd been a while since they'd been in the house of God. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get used to backsliders not coming. And we just kind of forget about them. But when's the last time you got to thinking about that backslider that used to sit on our pew, that used to pray at our altars, that used to shout around the front and sing and worship, but they're not among us, and your heart is heavy and troubled, and you picked up that cell phone and you text them and says, hey, I just want you to know I've been thinking about you and praying for you. We miss you. We love to see you come and be with us, and if you need me, I'm right here. I'm talking about being moved. Amen. When's the last time you got in your car, you cranked it up, and you drove across the road, or even a couple miles down the road, and knocked on their door and says, hey, I've been thinking about you, and I just want you to know that Jesus loves you, and I'd love you too. I tell you, God is looking for a people that will be moved with compassion. He was moved. The Bible said, Galatians 5 and 6, and it's just part of the scripture that I'm using, but it applies. He said, faith which worketh by love. You know how he's saying one place, if I have all faith, that I can remove mountains and all this, and I don't have charity. You know what charity is? It's love. My pastor told me it's love in action. It's not just I love you with my lips, but it's I love you with my life. He said, if we're like that, we are nothing. Faith which worketh, faith that is motivated. You know what? These men had faith, but they had the love of God too. And there was a love. Hey, a faith that was motivated by love and a compassion. And they seen that man troubled as long as he was. And you know what they did? They agreed. Four of them. Listen, that man can't get to Jesus. He is bound by his paralysis. He is bound by his sin. He can't get to the Lord. He is handicapped. Hey, man, there's no way possible. But you know what we can do? You can get one corner. You can get the other corner. And I don't care which corner you get. If you want to get in the front, that's fine. Me, but just pick up a corner and let's get this man to where Jesus is. Oh yeah, let's just get to, and I just thought about that, where David longed for a drink of water from the wells of Bethlehem. He didn't ask nobody to. He didn't demand his men to go in there and get water out of the well, Brother Kenny, but they heard him and they said, hey boys, our king's thirsty. Let's go get him some water. And they fought through the garrison of the Philistines and they got their king a drink of water. Water, why? They were moved with compassion. God, give us a church that's moved, that's motivated, that'll do more than just talk about how much we love them and get up and do something about it. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ,
They are none of His.
Amen.
If we don't respond to people in need like our Savior did, we are none of His. I don't want to be mean and hard today. I've been thinking about backsliders out of this church. Lost people. And some of you told me they used to be among us. And they used to have the victory. They're not among us anymore. When's the last time you got stirred up about it? When's the last time you wept in the midnight hour? Because they're not among us anymore. God help me to be nice. But I feel like preaching to you. And I've already preached longer than I need to. But God help me here. Oh, we must have compassion. I said we must have compassion. And let me move on. Not only that, we've got to have unity. We've got to be together. I done said it already. One got one corner, the other got the other corner, and the other got the back, and the other one got the other side. And they picked that man up. That bed probably was something like a blanket. And that man was laid on that blanket. And Brother Don, one of them got each corner. And they picked that blanket up. And they put it on their shoulder probably. And they began to make their way. You know what? They were working together. And let me tell you something, church. We'll never be able to get them back. You listen to me tonight. We'll never be able to reclaim backsliders. Amen. If we are not together. And when the devil tries to come in among us. And tries to sow division among us. And tries to divide. And tries to devour. And tries to use little issues that don't amount to nothing. To cause our unity not to be what it ought to be. You know what he's doing? He's handicapping us to the place that we can't pick up the man that's laying on the bed. Do you hear me tonight? Amen. It's good to have two. It's good to have three. But there's got to be four. Amen. To be able to get that man to Jesus. You know what? It's going to take every one of us. Every one of us. We got to be together. We've got to be united. The Bible said two are better than one. It said this man was born of four. In this we see four men that were united in their desire to see that man healed. And they were united in their desire and their duty to get that man to where his healing could be found. I'm going to tell you, if we could just get them to the Lord, they can rise, they can live again. It's going to take a church that is together. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, or I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all," listen, "that ye," 75% of you, speak the same thing, 80%, 95%, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all." What does that mean? That means every one of us. That ye all speak the same thing. What is that message? There's hope for you. There's hope. That's the message. That's what we need to be speaking. We all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among us, but that we be perfectly joined together. Ain't that what he said? In the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, Paul said, "For we are laborers together with God." It was a group of people in the Corinthian church. Among all the other problems they had, amen, they were stuck on preachers. "Well, I'm of Paul. or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Apollos, or Brother Jamie Ellington's my pastor, Brother Tim Sargent's my pastor, Brother Ron Marine's my pastor. You know what I'm saying? You understand me? Oh, he's saying, listen, it don't matter where you're from. Amen. All that matters is if you've been saved by the same blood that saved me. Amen. We are laborers together with God, and we've got a goal and we've got a purpose. Amen. And it should supersede every other desire that we have, and that is bring men to Jesus. Bring souls to a Savior that can do for them what nobody else can do.
Little children sing that song, if we all pull together, how happy we'll be. For your load is my load. And my load, you know what? Sister Valerie, I want to be willing to pick up that corner of the bed of somebody else's lost loving and bring them to Jesus. Because there's going to come a day I'm going to need somebody to pick up the corner of one of my youngins' beds that need to be saved. Oh, do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? I'm preaching on bringing men to Jesus. I hope I'm not boring you. I hope I'm not. And I hope I ain't making you mad. But I hope your heart's getting stirred tonight. And you realize, hey, I haven't been bringing men to Jesus. I don't have the faith I ought to have. I don't have the compassion I ought to have. I've let some little thing bring division between me and somebody else in the family of God. And because of that division, we cannot effectively bring men to Christ when we are divided. Do you hear me? Amen. If you get a telephone call from somebody trying to sow discord, what you need to do is say, listen, I don't have time to listen. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I am. I ain't got time to listen to it. If that's all you can do is talk bad about my brother or bad about my sister, then no thank you. And click on, hang that phone up and let them know, hey, we can't afford for the devil to divide. There's too many lost loved ones. Too many wayward souls that we're not going to be able to reach. Amen. And much less if we are not together like we ought to be.
And lastly, they were determined. The Bible said, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They tried to get to Jesus. There's a great big multitude. Brother Steve's man just painted a picture so pretty. People standing outside the windows, all the way around the house, coming out the door. And they got this man. And there ain't no way to get to him. Sorry. We tried. No. That ain't what they did. I believe they laid that man down real easy. And they climbed up on the roof of that house. And they got to tearing the roof off. And as Brother Steve said, dust and dirt got to falling down in that house. And they got to looking up as the sunlight got to shining through. What in the world is there an earthquake? What's going on? I tell you what's going on. Amen. They some saints of God. Amen. That's got faith. Hey, some saints of God that's got some compassion. Amen. They some saints of God that are together and they're unified. And you know what? They're determined. And they've come a mighty long way. Amen. To walk back the other way and nobody get help. Amen. They made up their mind. We're going to do whatever we got to do to get this man to Jesus. If we got to tear the roof off, we're going to tear the roof off. Amen. Let me tell you, church, we've got to get to that place. No matter how many times we're disappointed when we call and we pray and it looks like every effort is vain, and they say, no, I'm not coming to church, no, I'm not getting saved, and the devil says, give up. Don't you give up. You climb that roof and you tear it up and you tear it off. They were determined. I said they were determined, and it's going to take a determined church to bring men to Jesus.
You can stand tonight. The Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he didn't see that man's faith. He saw four people that had faith, that had a compassion, that was united and together. They laid aside, their differences because there was something bigger than them. Yes. Something more important than their little petty differences. Amen. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There was something more important than having my way. There was a man needing help. And they made up their mind. We are going to exhaust ourselves. And if this man don't get the help that we need, he will not be able to point his finger at us and say, we didn't try. We're going to do everything we can. And they tore that roof off. And they lowered that man down. And when he saw their faith. Oh, preacher, they got to want to be saved. Amen. I agree. But I also believe we got to believe. And when he saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins. Listen, we've got, oh God help me right here. We have got to want them to be saved as much as they want to be saved. You hear me? And we have got to desire for them to be saved as much as God would love for them to be saved. Do you understand? You know how determined God was, Brother Jeff, to save humanity? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how determined God the Father was. He gave his only begotten Son of God to die for the sins of the world. And if they were worth that much to God, they ought to be worth that much to us. They ought to be worth taking the time to pick up your phone and calling them and saying, hey, I love you. I'm not going to preach to you, but I just want you to know I love you. And I miss you. And things ain't the same. Things ain't the same without you. Oh, I hope I'm making sense tonight. We must. But preacher, last time I did, they got rude with me. And? Yeah, I know how it feels to have the door slammed in your face. I know how it feels to have the phone hung up on you. But you know what? They're going to hell. And I'd rather reach out one more time than to get my feelings hurt because they hung up or they got short with me. And I said, well, if that's the way they want to be, fine. Because listen, their problems bigger than my pride. They hurt my feelings, yeah, but they're still going to hell. And if they hurt my feelings 100 times, it'll be worth it. Oh, do you hear me tonight? Brother Jonathan, get us a song. I know this ain't a shout message. And I tell you what I'm praying tonight. I'm praying that we'll have a good altar service. And that God would help us. And that God would stir us. Because Brother Monty, they're going to hell. Thank God for missionaries like Brother Monty Hart that will take his family across the waters to a place, a strange place, that is near, it ain't as near as comfortable there as it is here. And all because he's trying to bring men to Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something, Highway of Holiness Church, we've got a mission field right here. Just with the backsliders that used to be in our church and pray at our altars and sing with our young people. We've got a mission field. And it's up to us to bring Jesus. Bow your heads tonight. I'm sorry if I preached too long. I don't apologize for what I preached. One man said, I might need to apologize for my inability to condense it a little more than what it is. But I feel like what the Lord laid on my heart is for us. And it's for me. It's not just you, it's me. It's this preacher. I have a responsibility. Brother Rodney, to bring men to Jesus. And I've got to believe. I've got to have faith. And I've got to have compassion. A faith that works by love, that's motivated by love. And I've got to have your help. And you've got to have my help. And we've got to all work together. And we must be determined. When it looks like things are going our way and they're coming, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out, and the devil said, see there, I told you, they weren't going to get saved. You thought they were, but look. We got to make up our mind and say, you know what? We're not accepting that. We're going to climb the roof and we're going to tear it off because they need to be saved. We can't afford to quit. I wonder tonight, would you like to pray? Do you feel a need to pray? Maybe there's somebody you need to pray for tonight. Maybe there's somebody, as I was preaching this message, that you begin to think about and God begin to burden your heart with them. You'd like to pray for them tonight. You'd like to call them. That'd be a good thing to do, church. It'd be a good time to call the backsliders' names out. To call those lost loved ones that you have out. And ask God to deal with their heart. And ask God to give us the wisdom knowing how to bring them to Jesus. God, give us the words to say. And help us know how to present Jesus to them. Oh God, we have a responsibility. That is to bring men to you, Lord. That is to bring souls to you, Jesus. Lord, would you help us do it? Would you help us do it? God, give us that faith to believe that you can and you will. Lord, help us to have that compassion that when we see them in their lowest state, in their state of depravity, that it would move us to tears in the midnight hour. That it would cause us to weep and stain the altars with our tears. God, help us to be together. Help us to be unified. Help us, God, to realize that if we're going to win them, we have got to be together. Unified as one. And Lord, help us to be determined. Help us to be determined, God, that even when it looks like our efforts are failing, that hope would rise in our hearts and it would keep us keeping hope. God, give us that that we need, Lord, to win them to you. God, bless you. Bless you.
Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the penitent. with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will obey if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, till the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength.